listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
Rook, it looks at you, and I need you to roll a constitution saving throw. You're all right. Creature breathes one last breath, motionless and dead.
Can I identify this creature at all?
Levi, this is a basilisk. There is a statue, very well made, depicts a woman who's standing, wearing clothing that is very reminiscent of the corpse that you found in the nest. Something is radiating a strong aura of magical energy beyond the rubble. Five empty sockets. This tomb contains nothing cherished. This seems to be a marking of what occurs when a large bird takes flight in the sand.
See if anybody knows anybody with this sigil. See if we can find our Eggman.
I got a list of things that I want to go over before we get into a recap. First of all, I don't know if this is an appropriate question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are you guys having fun playing D&D again?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting comfortable? Are you having any struggles changing from this, from a long period of Delta Green to this system? Is there anything that you guys are hung up on? Anything that you forget about Dungeons & Dragons? Anything that surprised you? Anything you forgot about and now you're reminded about? Anything like that that's been bumping around?
I'm just rusty when I roll, so sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, what do I add to that?
You know, yeah.
I mean, just like little shit like that, just being rusty because I haven't played in so long.
I think it's a different RP too.
Which, yeah.
Getting into, I mean, so far, I mean, we've had some RP. We've been fairly linear.
Yeah.
But just getting into those moments, I think, is going to be fun. But I don't know. I think there's always that hitting that moment, maybe like fifth session.
And it all takes time to catalyze.
Yeah.
It's all just a build up.
I mean, we were talking about it, that basically on the way in.
That's why I got
basically
beers.
The same shit.
Anybody want one?
No, I got fucking six silver bullets ready to shoot me in the gullet.
I got beers, too.
You want one?
Fuck it.
Fucking nerd.
Everyone's
a couple hours tonight.
Any other thoughts on transitioning to D&D? Anything else that's kind of caught you guys by surprise? The one thing that I do want to say is that when we take the time to look up these rules, where it's like, how does that spell work? Let me look it up. What do I add to this? Let me look it up. When we take the time to do that, try to commit that to memory. I know that that's really hard. We can't even remember one hyper-specific rule. A very, very specific rule in Delta Green. It was one rule that we had to remember, and we forgot it three times.
And we figured it out. If we didn't forget it three times, we wouldn't have came up with such a cool rule.
I agree. But this is a different kind of beast. There are so many rules that we need to at least try to commit them to memory. Is that going to happen in three sessions? No. Is that going to happen in six sessions? No. Hopefully by session 10, 20, 30... Now we're back into it and we don't have to look everything up, but make it an active effort that if we are looking up a rule, let's try to, you know, remember it, because I'm not going to remember all of them.
Because it kind of just sucks with D&D because you level up and then there's new
whole
stuff to
new
forget.
Slew of shit to forget. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, if we do come up with cool bends to the rules that make sense.
I love it. Yeah. Last bookkeeping thing that I have on here that is, I wasn't even going to bring it up. I don't know if you guys probably didn't notice that I didn't bring it up. Nobody cares enough, but I didn't bring it up, and I'm going to bring it up now. Kind of want to cast these characters, guys. Kind of want to cast these characters. Am I going to ask you for it now? No, it's hard. We have a cat, a mini dragon, a fucking cactus guy, and Colonel Sanders, so it is going to be a little bit hard to try and cast these guys, but I think just having that mental picture in your mind is so helpful when it comes to stuff, because I'm constantly thinking about Oscar Isaac when fucking Jerry's talking, or thinking about Matt Damon when Ray Hoyt's talking, and all that kind of stuff. I think it's helpful to help visualize the nuances in a character. Obviously with fantasy races it's a little bit harder, but you know, just try to think about it, try to, you know, let it dance around in your head a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
Sweet,
fine with that.
Awesome. Okay. anything? You guys got anything for me? I feel like I'm running a Teams meeting here. Anything else for me, guys?
I'm going to grab a beer real quick.
East Region, are you in attendance? Attaboy.
Well, I'll give you guys 5 minutes back to yourself.
Well, hope you guys enjoy the rest of this.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the rest of this Thursday. Let's get a recap. Let's get a recap of that last session, guys. Did Joe feel nervous about making you guys fight that thing?
No.
Yes.
A little. So if you guys want to get nerdy with me for a little bit, let's talk about basilisks. Cool creatures. One of the only creatures in Dungeons & Dragons that has that ability, the petrifying gaze. The other one being Medusa. Basilisks are always an interesting enemy for me, because they fall victim to an issue that a lot of creatures in D&D have, where if they cannot move, if a creature in D&D can't move that you guys are fighting against, like move correctly, they're fucked. You guys beat them out in action economy. Boss fights are not really fun unless there's other things around it. So when you have one big creature that does some pretty cool stuff, but it's against four people with four actions and four bonus actions, they get bogged down. So that's why I typically tend to treat CR challenge rating a little bit lower when it's only one enemy. So if I have two CR ones versus one CR five, you guys can crack down a CR five at level three. You guys can crack down a CR nine at level three. I used to do it in one shots. Now this specific basilisk obviously was hurt, right? So the way that it works in the book is that this petrifying gaze is an aura effect. Anyone who starts their turn near it falls victim of it, has to either shield their eyes or, has to roll constitution saving throw, against the creature's spell save DC in order to not turn to stone. Turn to stone in two turns. You have to fail a constitution check two turns in a row, you turn completely to stone. This was a little bit different. I treated it like a dragon's breath weapon, where if you ever fight a dragon in D&D, they have a breath weapon. They only get that breath weapon back to use on the following turn if they successfully roll a 5 or a 6 on a d6. It's called just a charge that they have for it. This is all very, very nerdy bullshit that you guys do not need to know at all, but I don't have anyone to tell it to. So essentially what I did is I changed it from an aura effect to a breath weapon. Breath weapon recharge. He actually got another one off. He rolled a 6 in order to try to use it on you. What are you guys doing if somebody turns to stone? Realistically.
Throw them off something high and break them.
What connections do you guys have to each other that you would be like, oh, let's go on this fucking magical adventure to bring this guy home, this fucking gigantic 400-pound statue? What do you guys do in that situation? Realistically.
It would have been a little fucking awkward if it happened on session two. It's just like, oh yeah, it's fucking Joe Schmo just turned to stone. I don't know.
And I would have beat you guys down. I would have been like, what connection does your character have to this guy he just met? Like, let's take a look at it honestly, realistically. So yeah, that was something that definitely crossed my mind. What else have they seen that you haven't explicitly mentioned in one of these sessions? Like, what are some weird bits and bobbles that you have on your person that they might have seen at camp or anything like that?
Full set of alchemy tools, which I think is just going into his... He has all these vials and stuff and a lot of empty vials. And yep. Just... And it's not like he's got, like, a full, like, meth lab kit in his back pocket.
But the alchemy kit is fairly extensive.
But it's not... Like, it's like not like it's in use every night. It's just he's kind of collecting more than anything right now. And you saw him break up the rock that almost looked like powdered sugar that he broke up, that he put around the circle.
That shell-shaped shell-shaped tool that you mentioned when I think you cast...
Oh, yes. Firebolt.
Yes. Yeah, so you got some fucking fancy gizmos.
Yeah.
Big time. I had a thought the other day when I was going through you guys' character sheets. I'm fucked bad. If any creature wants to even take a couple steps, I'm fucked. Between Sentinel and Booming Blade, I'm fucking ruined, dude.
Sentinel fucks you.
It does.
Because it lets everyone else go.
I know. It's horrible. So, we gotta get...
Is that a feature?
We gotta get... It's a feat, yeah. I gotta get creative with the encounters here. You guys are gonna fight a lot of ranged enemies, I can tell you that. So, the four of you, under a star-filled sky, rest and recoup after an eventful day within Talverna Cave. Keep in mind that this rest only functionally serves as a short rest. You guys are not going to recover any kind of spell slots unless your short rest does that. But sleep does take hold of you quickly, and you arise to the sun in the morning. A bit over a day and a half remains in your journey back to the Adventurers Guild, and although it is largely going to be uneventful, I just want to know, on this trek, on this walk, do you guys want to do anything specific, or do you guys want to hold any specific conversations?
I would like to do something while we eat. While we're eating, I want to be sitting next to Rook, and I want to try to pull one of his pricks, and then I want to try to use it like a toothpick.
Does this hurt me?
Does it work?
Do you allow it to happen?
Does it hurt me?
No. Just kind of...
I look at you, I'm like, do you mind?
I, like, flinch, and I'm like, what do you want to do with it? What are you doing?
Yank it out. Just start picking my teeth with it. Bite it.
That's disrespectful.
I'm not... Sorry, I did not mean to offend you. I can put it back if you like. I can throw it back in the sand.
Does it take a long time for it to regenerate?
Yeah, it takes like a week, 2 weeks.
Rook just like goes, like he like shakes his head. No, I'm gonna be vulnerable there.
Okay, you have my word. I'm dearly sorry.
It's okay, I forgive you.
But... and I'm looking at him up and down. He's got a lot, doesn't he? Does he have
thousands?
A lot?
Fucking
thousands.
Okay, I hang on to it in my mouth as we continue our journey.
Anything else that you guys do on that first day? So, crossing the chalk road back into the outskirts of King Cadine, passing by Claybend, you guys are able to set up camp near the outskirts of Claybend, probably right near the edge there. Lights quickly go out on the streets, lamps are extinguished, the stars come out, and you guys bed down, go to sleep, and awake the next morning. So on the outskirts of Claybend, the Adventurers Guild is probably about a half day's walk if you guys want to continue on.
Yeah.
Let's walk it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not want to undersell the fact that it sucks to sleep in the cold. Even if you have a fire in the desert, you guys are waking up. There's sand in your fucking bedrolls. You guys are, like, probably getting sunburnt. It sucks. But you continue on. So, making your way through, King Cadine eventually becomes a lot more dense. So, the town itself, like I mentioned a couple times, the way that it's structured is it's densest near the center, closest to the Royal Palace Baitenka. On the edges, it's a little bit more spread out. There's room between houses. But it's actually separated a little bit where the change becomes less gradual and almost as if now you're in the heart of the city. And at that threshold, at that heart, you can see that there's actually an ingress, so a way directly into this main area that will eventually lead to the Adventurers Guild. But there's a small crowd that's actually there. It actually looks like there's a group that's trying to get in, get past with wagons and carts, beasts of burden, but their path is blocked. You see coming into view a couple well-armored guards. They have swords, pikes, crossbows too. And it looks like they're not letting these people enter for some reason. You guys are a ways away, maybe 20, 30 yards as you see this. You have to get past them in order to continue to the Adventurers Guild.
What's going on up there? Should we check it out?
I think we should, yes. And I want to get on all fours and kind of start Well, I'll use my feline agility, go quicker, and I want to be kind of stealthy, you know, in and out of people.
Weaving
real low,
in and out between people's legs, yeah. Dipping back, dipping past. As you kind of make your speedy assault directly up, you notice that it doesn't look like it's a fight. Doesn't look like anyone's upset. People do look impatient. They look a little bit, you know, frustrated maybe, but there's no direct fighting. You get a little bit closer and you do catch the end of a conversation between what looks like some merchant wearing some nice finer clothes and one of these guards that are there. The guard is just kind of explaining, just hold on a moment. They're just transporting them. They'll be done in a moment. Just hang on. The guy says, okay. All right. He nods. A couple moments pass. What do you do?
That's it? Like that? Like nothing else is happening with the merchant up there?
No, he doesn't seem like he's putting up a fight. Doesn't it just seems like he's got his arms folded and he's waiting behind this line of caravans that you see. What are you guys doing?
If I'm not like right next to him and like where the commotion is, you know,
you're within earshot, but not right up on.
I want to one of the caravans or just to someone mm-hmm. that looks like they're
yeah, it looks
in,
like there's
in a line, like you know, not just
guy mounted on a horse.
Excuse me, sir. What seems to be the holdup here?
Oh, they're transporting prisoners for execution. They just want to keep the roads clear for a moment.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Just immediately hurry back and tell them.
Scurry back to the group. You explain that?
Yes.
I want to look around now. Like, do we see the prisoners? Mm-hmm. Like.
Looks like whatever is happening beyond this ingress looks to be blocked by the guards.
How so? Like, can we walk around? Can we?
You might
like,
be able to.
Can we?
You might be able to try and, like, sneak to the edge of a small, like, shin-high stone wall that's there.
Are they transporting them in the direction of the capital?
You don't have no idea.
Okay.
Another moment passes.
Yeah, I want to try to get a vantage point.
Make your way kind of over, stepping away from this crowd off to the right side.
I'll climb on roofs if I think that's the best option.
Yeah, so there's actually a house nearby that looks like it might be able to kind of give a view of whatever's happening there.
Cool, I'm climbing on top.
Climbing on top. What's everyone else doing?
I want to try, too, to get some kind of vantage point if it's possible. I know I'll be much more limited, but...
Gotcha. So... in where he's getting the height advantage, you're maybe getting a different angle, moving a little bit Cree in order to try and see exactly what's going on up here. Strafe a little bit off, and you can see, like I mentioned, there's like this little shin-high, maybe knee-high stone wall that's there. So there's a guard on the other side of it who looks like he's got his back to you. Kind of turns around, gives you a look, just kind of like looks at you, turns back around. And you can see passing over his shoulder. And at this point, Honto, as you're able to climb up, scale up to this house, kind of grabbing the terracotta shingles at the top, and they kind of slide through your fingers, and you reach yourself up, pull yourself over, take a look. Both of you guys see the same thing. It looks like a small wagon that has a cage on it. In this cage, looks like there is a man who is in shackles behind this wagon with chains connecting, but he's walking. He's not in the cage. Is another man. It looks like they're getting dragged through, pulled through the town. And they are heading towards the center, the royal palace there.
What are they wearing?
Tattered robes.
It's two humans?
Both of them are humans, yes. Darker skin. This
Are they old or young? Or
they... roll perception.
Nineteen.
Both of them look younger, maybe even teenagers.
Okay.
As you guys take this in, quickly they go out of view, and a couple more moments pass before this caravan, groups of merchants begin making their way back in. The guards step aside. What do you guys do?
I'll come back down. With everyone else.
What'd you see?
It's two men. Human. Young, like me. Yes. They were heading towards... What is it? The castle in the middle? Quite a fuss over two men. No?
I wonder what they did.
Should we follow?
Dangerous, might have you. Stopping a whole caravan like this. Boys ain't been up nothing good.
Kree?
Is it possible that they are from the Vulture clan that we encountered? I don't know.
They were not in the same robes, but I suppose they could be related to the cave somehow.
They look the same as the guys we found?
Human.
Two young humans. I was up on the roof. That's all I know. They're in tattered clothes, chained.
I say we follow.
We have time.
Are the security guards still there?
So the crowd's actually dispersed, and with them the guards as well.
There's no guards in sight?
There's one who's hanging out kind of by the edge there. Looks like he's picking something off the bottom of his boot.
The guards that did disperse, did they follow the caravan?
Correct.
Or not the caravan, the prisoners?
Yes. Guard's got a dagger and he's picking at his boot.
Should we ask the guard what they did? Maybe ask the guard if they know the vulture?
I don't see why not.
Go ahead, Rook.
I hand him the patch.
Okay. Walk up.
Kind of, he's picking at his boot with the dagger, and he looks up, sheathes the dagger. Hail.
Hello, Mr. Guard. My name's Rook. It's nice to meet you.
Hello.
What did those prisoners do?
To tell you the truth, we're not entirely sure.
Really?
We think that there was some sort of plot. One of them was guard to the queen. A lot of the royal family there.
Oh no. Wow. Hey, have you ever seen this before? And I show him the patch.
Kind of holds it. No. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you for your time, sir.
It's a pleasure.
And I walk away, and I walk back to the group.
Lumbering back over, Rook comes back into view.
He don't know about the patch. He doesn't know much about the prisoners either. But one of them was, pretty high up. Something bad must have happened. On the inside.
What do you mean, high up?
I believe one of them was guard himself. Oh. Betrayal? I don't know. You can ask more people, though.
Are we in a time where executions like this are common?
It's a layered question. Time? Yes. Place? You don't know.
Okay.
And they're going towards Baitinga and not the Adventurers Guild?
Correct. You guys stand solo, the four of you.
Let's follow them. If we go to the Adventurers Guild now, we return with nothing but one broken egg.
Let's go.
Kree is not wrong. I give Kree a really long, like, sexual glare.
Thank you. If you weren't gonna say sensual or sexual, I was going to put it in there for you. Thank you.
It's not like very obvious, but he can tell. I'm giving him a look.
Can he? What's your charisma score?
Well, mine's bad. If that makes it
I think that works for me. That would, yeah, that would help. Yeah. What is it?
Mine is 18.
You 100% know. Before he even shoots you the glare, you know.
I fucking. He's like. I just imagine he kind of just like. Like that's it. Like that's all he does. Just like. All right.
Like looks at it.
A sideways glance, swallows hard, and passes on.
Rook starts walking.
Continuing boop, on. Boop, boop. Walking past this threshold. So are you guys heading where? Because now you don't see any crowd. You don't see that caravan. You don't see that transport. You don't see anything.
Whichever. They were going to the left.
Yeah.
We just go left.
It's a pretty...
tracks?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, so the cobblestone streets here actually don't leave any tracks.
Okay. Is it hilly or is it pretty flat? Where
oh,
we
it's
are?
Very flat.
Okay.
But there are buildings all around that you see.
Got it.
Houses, inns, and taverns.
On these guards, was there any symbol or anything?
No.
Okay.
But they are wearing red and gold armor.
Red and gold. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a red chest plate with gold trimmings.
So following in the direction of these prisoners and the guards, right?
Continuing that way, in whatever direction that they headed?
Yeah.
Okay. The street itself is pretty easy to follow, and it doesn't take you long walking down this street to find what looks like a crowd beginning to gather and walk in the direction that they seem to be going. You guys follow this crowd down, walk for another minute, two, three, five. Far in the distance, you do see the spires of the towers of this royal palace, Baitinka, come into view. As you get closer, you notice a large crowd has gathered. Time passes as you continue down. The crowd gets denser. For my poor short friend, begins to get a little hard to see anything. So any kind of descriptors that I give will not apply to you. I apologize. Crowd gets denser as you guys get closer, and you notice in the distance, probably, say maybe 75 yards ahead of you, raised gallows, stairs leading up to a platform, and you can see a large post that ends in a noose. There's nothing up there, but this crowd is pretty large. Probably 200, 250 people. You guys are towards the back. As you guys get a little bit closer, you're kind of getting pushed up from behind too. So what do you guys do?
Yeah, fuck it. At this point, if it's getting really tight like that, even with my height, I'm gonna split and get a vantage point of the whole situation.
Okay, what's everyone
else
doing?
Are these mostly human?
Yeah, mostly human. You see some dwarves.
I'm probably taller than most of these people.
Oh, 100%,
so
yeah.
So I can at least kind of see
over. You have a good view, and I would honestly say, Hanta, with your height too, you can get a vantage point if you want, but your height would help you too.
I kind of am doing it more to snoop up to, like, what's... Can I see past it? Can I see guards doing something?
Gotcha.
Can I see, something weird?
Okay.
Something, yeah.
I gotcha.
Anybody really close to us that seemed really passionate, like, oh, I can't wait to see. Did you hear what happened? Blah, blah, blah. Listening.
I'll jump to that in a second. Roll perception for me, though, and Levi, what are you doing?
So we're getting, like, it's like concert level. People are packed.
It's getting close.
I want to stay close to Rook, because I'm assuming people are keeping a distance from these spikes.
Big time.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of a path for us.
And Kree, what are you doing?
Same. I'm just, like, staring at everybody's kneecaps, like, close to Rook.
So, perception, Rook?
21.
21. So, you actually look over to your right to see a man, human man, with a small child on his shoulders. Child is kind of looking out, got his palm extended out, trying to look across the crowd. And the father looks over to you and just kind of like locks eyes with you. Hello.
Hey. I'm Rook.
John.
Nice to meet you, John.
Pleasure.
What's everyone gathered here for?
There's a traitor to the crown.
What did he do?
Tried to assassinate somebody important. I'm not quite sure.
Really?
No.
Wasn't there two?
Yeah, the other one helped him. They're not killing him today. I think they're just cutting his hand off.
Was the other one a guard as well?
I don't think so. I think it was just the one.
And he was a guard to the queen?
To the queen, maybe the court.
Hmm.
But something like this, you know, they gotta make a big show out of it, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't released any details yet, so most of the people here are just trying to figure out exactly what's going on.
Hmm. That's a shame. Thanks, John.
No problem.
I turn around to my boys. I let them know.
My friend John here said that, that there was a traitor. He was a guard to the queen or the court. He tried to assassinate somebody. They're killing him, but they're not killing the other one tonight. They're just cutting his hand off. Seems pretty extreme to me.
That is cruel.
I wonder who he tried to kill.
Someone within the crown? Is that what he said?
Maybe the court. Somebody important.
Can I turn to Kree and point to John and his child and the child on John's shoulder?
I have a fucking sticky note with all fake names on it, and they're all really good fake names, and I don't even look at it. I just say John.
John.
And give Kree a reluctant shrug, like, if you wanna.
I fucking grab your wrist as quick as I can. Start climbing.
Yeah.
Climbing up and scaling.
I put him on legs in the front.
Legs in the front.
Like it's a little seat.
Oh yeah.
Perched upon the shoulder of Leviticus Kane. So Honto, you're actually able to find yourself a pretty good viewpoint, kind of scaling up the side of some barrels that look like they're stacked up, kind of into some warehouse area. They're empty, but you make your way up to the edge and kind of peer over, look over, and you can see this platform like I described with the gallows on it. You can also see off to the right what looks like a barricade that's been set up as well. Beyond that, you can actually see what looks like that original wagon that you saw with the cage. The cage is empty, and you can see them looking like there's a group of guards that are actually trying to force somebody up and closer to this platform. It's a far ways away. Go ahead and roll perception for me.
10.
It's tough to tell, but it looks like they're guiding him up to the platform. Now everyone sees what I'm about to describe. There are two guards that look like they have either arm on this man as they're pushing his back, trying to get him up to the platform. And it looks like he's resisting rather quickly. They give him a punch to the back of the neck, and he kind of gives out a little bit, goes a little bit limp. They're able to walk him up, and he's still walking of his own volition as they put him up. The two of them are holding him there, and then eventually only like 2 or 3 seconds pass before coming up is a third guard who looks like he's holding something that looks like a large stone. He walks up, puts the stone down on the platform, the other two guards rather quickly. None of these guards are addressing the crowd. Nobody's saying anything. No one's saying anything. They push this guy down, grab his one wrist, place it on the stone. Three guards are trying to push this guy down, and he's resisting. It looks like he's trying to shake, trying to weasel his way out. He might also be screaming, but because of the crowd, you guys aren't able to kind of hear anything. Off on the distance, you see coming into view, stepping up this platform, is this huge, huge person. Full plate armor, face covered by a face shield, wielding this giant axe. This all happens really quickly. There's no hesitation. There's nothing that is any semblance of addressing the crowd. The guy takes 2, 3, 4 steps up, end over end, picks up the axe, cuts the guy's hand clean off, and this spurt of blood goes out. The crowd gasps. As quick as it started, it's over. The guy's ushered off to the stage, and the hand is just laying there, right on this platform. A couple more moments pass. You see what looks like this guy in white robes step up the platform, pick up the hand, pick up the large rock, and walk back down. This wooden stage is now coated in blood. The crowd is talking amongst themselves. John looks over at you and just says, "This is like the third one in the last couple of months."
Really? Third assassination attempt?
No, at least the severance rite. It's mainly for...
Why do you think so?
Thieves.
You think they really did it?
Well, I don't know if this guy had anything to do with that thing, but... Apparently they said they knew each other. But they mainly do this for thieves, people stealing, stuff like that, and it's been tough recently, so...
So if there's a thief, they cut off their hand?
they steal something big, yeah. Sometimes both.
Seems pretty extreme to me.
I guess.
You think he deserves it?
I think the crown keeps us safe.
Hmm.
And I don't steal.
You think that guy really tried to kill somebody?
I don't know.
I look at his kid.
Who's just like tapping on the head of the dad and like looking off and fucking jumping and just looking around, not really paying much attention to anything.
You want him to see somebody die?
He's got to get used to it. Happens every day.
I suppose, John. I suppose you're right. So when is, you know, that happening?
Tomorrow, they said.
Oh. Okay, John. I'll see you around.
I turn around. And I look at you guys and I say,
the execution's not happening today. Just that. A little extreme, in my opinion.
Is the crowd moving out, or are we pretty blocked in?
Pretty blocked in, but you can probably weasel your way out if you try. Hanto?
So as soon as I can tell that after the hand was chopped off, that's kind of it for this evening's, you know,
debauchery
activities.
And fun. Yeah.
I kind of want to try to go more close, like make my way towards where the prisoners came from, because there's another guy. Or where, you know.
Yeah. So, how close? Because it is lot of weaving and getting
I'm
in and around these people.
Like, stealthily. I mean, I'm with agile, finesse, trying to get as close as I can until I think, like, oh, I need to really be fucking careful here.
Well, I mean, it's actually like pretty easy to get up probably to, like, maybe two or three rows back from, you know, the front here. And a lot of stuff is coming into view as you get closer here.
Yeah.
You can see the guards who look like they're just kind of almost, like, maintaining the wagon. Like, one of them's, like, checking the wheel. The other one is, like, picking up the chains there. But it's empty. They're backed up to what looks like a door, possibly some sort of entrance into a, you know, courtyard that probably leads further into this palace. Not like, oh, this is the door and you get right into the palace. Like, there's obviously probably like checkpoints in place, but this must be the entrance to one of those checkpoints more than likely. But there's nobody else here except for these guards. The guy in the full armor who chopped off this guy's hand, nowhere to be seen. Guy in the white robes who picked up the hand, nowhere to be seen.
And I can definitely tell no one's in the wagon. Like, it's open.
Oh yeah, no, it's just this cage that's on this wagon. It's very easy to see in. No, you don't see anybody.
Alright, fuck it. I'll just retreat. Find my way back to the large cactus.
Gotcha. And what are you guys doing?
Just watching, man. Just looking wide, observing, people watching.
Eventually, Hanto makes his way back to the group. You guys are reunited, and the crowd is starting to disperse at this point.
Could you believe that, friends?
A little extreme, if you ask me.
His world is quite crazy.
I met a friend, his name was John, and he told me that the other guy is going to get executed tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I tried to follow him, but I lost him.
Yeah, show's over for today.
I believe they retreated back into the gates of the compound. Castle, whatever.
John told me that he was he attempted to assassinate somebody, and the guy that just got his hand cut off, he helped, allegedly. He said this has been happening a lot lately.
What does a lot mean?
You know, a lot of thieves, a lot of whatever this is. I don't have this where I came from. We don't cut each other's hands off for entertainment, but...
I understand that. I mean, what does he mean, every day, every week?
He said, like, you know, 5 in the past couple weeks.
I don't think I would like to live here, boys, no?
That is a lot of killings.
Why don't we resume our original mission and maybe we can figure something out on our way, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we're in such a big area. Maybe they got a library, historians around. Somebody bound to know what this symbol is.
I should have asked John.
Do I see John?
You see the back of the back of John, and he's like about to pull the kid
is
off.
He
of
far
him.
Away.
It's maybe like 10 feet, 20 feet.
Can I go back to John?
Do you walk up to John?
Yeah,
John.
Hi.
I forgot to ask. Do you, by any chance, have any idea what this is? And I show him the patch.
No, doesn't look familiar. Hmm.
Nobody seems to know. Thanks, John. I'll see you around.
It seems like the kid who's now being kind of hoisted off of his shoulders looks at you for the first time and just kind of like goes wide-eyed, like the first time he's like looking at you.
And I just like smile and weep.
He kind of gives you like a half-hearted kid limp.
And then I speak my way and so. And then I walk away.
John, can I ask? Do you have a library in the city?
Yeah, the Charred Stacks is right over there.
He points out a building.
Yeah, it looks like he points up away. You don't see like a direct mm-hmm. building up that road a little bit to the right. Yeah,
give him a wave.
Is the guard I imagine I'm still like looking over top of the shoulders, like is the guard that cut the dude's hand off
nowhere
completely
in sight?
Damn, so is there like a fucking piece of paper up on the platform or
no,
like?
It is jarring how little explanation, exposition, or, you know, even addressing of the crowd happened. As if this was just happening and the crowd was just here. It wasn't presented, it wasn't a show, it wasn't here's this guy and here's what he did. Nothing like that. And that is a little discomforting, it is a little jarring.
Hmm.
Did you ask anyone how they knew about this? We have not seen flyers. No. We have not heard a dumb crier.
No, I just asked John what was happening. John told me.
Means got to be oldest technique in the book. Little word of mouth. How we find out about it.
Stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
To the library? No.
Yeah.
What's the library's name? The
Charred Stacks.
Charred Stacks.
Head in that direction.
Head in that direction.
Looking for signage, possibly.
Signage, possibly. Heading up in that direction. The crowd is very quick to disperse at this point now. People are kind of going back to their lives, picking up their various tools and whatever they were doing before this. It's about midday. You step up towards the way that John pointed you at, and you can see turning the corner there in the distance, there's almost like a garden, but not the typical lush garden that you would expect, more of dried shrubbery and almost like wooden sculptures and statues, as if it's like a mesquite tree trunk that's been curved in on itself in like one little spot, and this other one has like what looks like a carving on it. A topiary garden with no topiary, with no leaves, but it's nice, and it leads to what looks like a building. Think about like almost what the Lincoln Memorial looks like, but blackened stone, and it does look charred, as if, you know, this building had been succumbed to fire at one point. You can see edges of ashes and stained bits of char that extend up the side of it, almost as if it looks like a pattern. But it is a ways in the distance, and there's people milling about. You also see a couple stands around, little food stands that are set up, people selling various wares and bits and baubles kind of on the side around here, but there are people. You'd have to walk past them to get there. And what do you guys want to do?
That is a beautiful building.
Start walking. Fuck it. Walk right in.
Yeah.
Stepping up past through this garden, walking on these stone pavers that lead the way. eventually stepping up the steps, these large columned spires that extend up to support what looks like a very heavy roof. Past that, you see a door which is actually held open. Looks like there's a small rock that's being used to prop open the door. Doesn't look like there's anyone who is in line or walking around in here that you can see immediately. But as you get a little bit closer, you can enter in and you see a large collection of books. All of these shelves with all these different colored spines extending from floor to ceiling in here. And the ceilings are pretty high, probably like 60 feet high. There is a small desk that is set up. You see this guy who's behind it, older looking guy wearing these blue robes. He looks like he's stamping something. And there's a guy that he's speaking to. There's actually a half-orc in front of him who it looks like he's having a conversation with. Rather quickly, as you guys enter in, that conversation ends. The guy behind the desk shuts a book, hands the book to the man. The half-orc takes it and walks out past you guys. And looks like he's smiling as he's walking away.
I look at the book as he walks past, like the cover.
Roll perception.
10.
The Lusty Arachne.
Jesus Christ.
It's cooking guy.
There are a decent amount of people who are milling about in here too. Probably about like 6 or 7 people who look like they're browsing the various collections, but this guy behind the desk looks like he's going through different books, opening them, closing them, maybe checking them for damage. But there's no line. What do you guys want to do?
Walk up to the librarian.
Looks like he shuts a book, puts it down, shuts another book, puts it down, looks up. Looks up, and then looks down at you.
Hello!
Hello? Fuck. God damn it. I walk over, I look at Levi, and I'm like, you have the amulet, don't you?
No, it's all,
Oh, you're talking about this? Hi, I'm Rook.
Hello, my name is Kalka.
Hi, Kalka. Have you ever seen this before?
Oh, let me take a look. Thank you. Let me see.
Oh, and he be careful with that.
Squints. Oh. I apologize, my Wayan friend. I have not seen this before.
I take it, and I'm like eye contact the whole time.
Yeah.
I take it. You know my way?
Well, yes. Every learned man should.
Oh. Have you ever been to the place where the cactus flower grows?
I would love to, but unfortunately not. I have met a man who did once, though.
Was he my way?
No, he was a human.
And was he nice?
He was the greatest poet I've ever met, yes.
You should go one day. He never seen
can,
it before.
I'm old.
And I put the patch back in, like, I guess my pocket or whatever.
What are you looking for specifically? I might be able to help you.
And I like look at everybody like you get the feeling that Rook isn't sure what to say in that situation. Like he kind of like he like keeps looking over at you guys and like not making eye contact with what the fuck's his name?
He said Kalka.
Kalka. Because like Rook's like, well, he doesn't want to be like, I found it on a dead body. He's, like, looking at you guys like, well, where did we get this patch from?
That's right. And I open up my patch, and I pull out the shattered dragon egg, and I, like, put it on top of the fucking counter.
Reach up like, over your head and put it up.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
We are from the Adventurers Guild. We are looking for more of these, dragon eggs. They're from Alohana, and
these are Alohana's eggs.
This is one of them, yes.
Wow.
And we believe that the sigil on that amulet can lead us to more eggs. We believe that the whatever people occupy this guild or clan or whatever have the rest of the eggs.
What do you need to collect them for?
I suppose, and I'm looking around, rite of passage to let us into the Adventurers Guild. It's our final test.
Well, unfortunately, I don't recognize it, but I could point you in the right direction. What could you tell me about it?
They wear orange robes. They were all human. And
one was a druid.
Druid? Well, let me see. I could see if I could find you a book on druids. Beyond that, I'm not sure where else I can point you.
Find a book on druids. That would be great, okay. Mr. Kalka.
Well, you can go right down that aisle. It should be the...
And he looks up in the air and kind of like waves his finger around.
1372nd book on the left. Fourth shelf, top right.
Okay. I go.
Find the book. Making your way there. What's everyone else doing?
Is he a human?
Kalka?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the librarian is a human. Older looking guy.
You got a color or a title, or are these all numbered?
It should be Green Spine. It's titled The Thousand Tribes of Moss and Sand.
Give him another wave.
Gives you a nod.
I'm gonna stand there behind, like, while they walk away and kind of just look around in amazement for like 30 extra seconds. And I want to ask him, Mr. Kalka, how many books are in here?
Well, in here, we are proud to boast a library of 19,000 books. But beyond here, the other half of the charred stacks contains the Gatherum, which is another 13,000 books. But unfortunately, those are not for public perusal.
You mean to tell me you have over 30,000 books?
We are very proud of it. It is the largest collection in the area. Some argue the largest in Ticinia.
Honto is agape, just 360ing constantly, looking at all these books. And then he looks at the man very sexually.
By God!
This is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, Mr.
Yes, we're very proud of it.
Avoiding eye contact.
Wow.
And then I want to go back to the group.
Chubbed up.
Go back to the group as Kalka waistbands his boner. So as you guys are walking there, there's a ton of books in here. A ton of books. Fourth shelf, making your way over there to get to the point where Kalka explained, you do see a green spine book that does have down in gold lettering, it says, The Thousand Tribes of Moss and Sand.
Scoop that baby out.
Pop it out, hold it in your hand. The Thousand Tribes of Moss and Sand by Elwyn DeLode. It looks pretty new. Doesn't look beat up, doesn't look crusty, doesn't look worn.
Have I heard of this book before?
Roll history.
Seventeen.
No, surprisingly, you haven't.
All right.
Neither have you heard of the author, Elwyn DeLode.
Well, I take the book out, and I imagine there's like tables in here.
Yeah, there are some.
I go sit down.
Tables.
I go sit down, and I tell,
"Come on, let's sit down."
You guys sit down, or you guys do anything else in here?
Well, is there a Starbucks in here? I need Starbucks before I sit down and read a book.
There is what looks like a large mustache man in the corner who is viciously brewing coffee.
It's fucking
looks
cow.
Like he's got like a copper pot that he's like spinning around on the hot sand to make the fucking Turkish coffee. Sit down.
Yeah.
Anyone else doing anything specific before we dive into this book?
No, I got my fucking eyes, like, peeked over, like, as Rook has it in his hands as we sit.
So this book is large. and it describes many different druidic clans across Ticinia. As you're going through, it looks like some tribes are unnamed, and they only have like brief general descriptions, like this tribe consists of 12 members and they're rumored to frequent this area. But we don't have any other information. Other ones have pages and pages and pages of stuff that's written on them. Beyond that, though, you do kind of start digging into it. There are a couple things that pop up. There are a couple druidic clans, druidic circles that catch your eye. First of all is a very obvious one. There is a druidic circle known as the Circle of the Worm. W-Y-R-M. It looks like it's a druidic circle surrounding the worship of dragons. They're scattered, and they don't have one defining creed or anything like that. But, and one of the reasons that you rule them out is that they're typically only inhabited by dragonborn and kobold.
Does Kree have any different facial expressions when we get to this part?
No, I'd say he just, like, raises a brow and is like, that's very interesting. And that's it.
Then you get to another druidic clan known as the Sunken Stars, a druidic group connected to the night sky. One of the reasons you're drawn here is it looks like one of the practices of the Sunken Stars is worshiping the night sky, looking at the night sky through breaks in cave walls that are in the ceiling of caves. That seems to connect to Talverna, the tops of the cavern with the holes in them, being able to look up above. However, the Sunken Stars are mostly found in southern Ticinia, in the boglands and the swamps, where they not only worship the stars through breaks in cavernous ceilings, but also within reflections in dark cave pools below. The final druidic tribe, and the one that most piques your interest, you flip to a page that has an entire page dedicated to a detailed version of that sigil. This is titled Circle of the Vultures. These druids, believed to be the oldest currently existing druidic circle, worship not only vultures and other scavenging birds of prey, but the very concepts that those birds embody. They worship the sand and all of its creatures, but ultimately worship death. More specifically, the circle worships decay. Decay in the form of scavenging. They too are scavengers. They wander the sands in search of dead travelers or murdered caravans, taking whatever is left. Rumors also circulate that this group participates in cannibalism.
Is this a colored book?
It is not.
Is there any mention of any orange or anything that would represent their robes?
No, it doesn't look like they go into details of the robes specifically. But like I mentioned, there is a detailed picture of that sigil with the skull coming down and the wings, these jagged wings coming off of either end of the vulture's skull. There is a little bit more information, but if you guys want to talk about that before we get to the rest of it, it's up to you guys.
I would like to keep reading.
Yeah.
Chief among their tenets would be their unique burial process, leaving deceased druids atop a large flat rock and allowing the native vultures to consume the corpse. This process additionally incorporates divination magic, as elder members of the Circle of Vultures are said to be able to predict the future by reading the exposed innards and bones left behind after the vultures have had their fill. It is a ritual known as Al-Dawakil, or divination by entrails. at this point in time, the Circle of Vultures have the largest tribe. They are notably stagnant, making roost in the northwest outskirts of Kincaidine, beyond the Salt Flats. A population of about 90, which practice their teachings freely.
You said northwest of the Salt Flats?
Northwest of the outskirts of Kincaidine, beyond the Salt Flats. Did Levi ever draw this map from memory?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Oh. He draws when they... So it mentions the Salt Flats. Is it okay to say they have a paper? Anything to write on?
Yeah, you have parchment, sure. Yeah. If not, Kalka would be happy to give it to you, bud.
Starts to put it on the table and draw a very rudimentary version of the map where he just wants to point out where we're at right now, where the Salt Flats are on this elevated plane, and then the cavern that we came from where we found the half the dragon egg and these guys, and point out that there was on the map this little kind of mountain hill northwest of the Salt Flats, and circles it.
Now, this book seemingly has a description of a lot of stuff. The thousand tribes of moss and sand, there are probably 1,000 druidic tribes across Ticinia. These are three that just catch your eye on a preliminary read-through, and it looks like the back half of this book has other information that would take you some time to study and go through. Anything else just based off of, going through this encyclopedia of different druidic tribes? I'm imagining you're like, oh, it's not that one, it's not that one, it's not that one, it's not that one. That one could be it, it's not that one. Is it? You're not actively, reading through this stuff. The back half is going to take you a couple days to, actually go through and read through. It looks like it's a lot of information on, druidic practices and different stuff like that.
Can I take it?
This is D&D, dude. You can do whatever you want.
Where's Kalka?
Look like he's behind his desk.
Hello!
Kalka, can I take this book for a little while and I'll bring it back?
Yes, we'd have to sign you up for a library card.
Okay, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna pull up the paperwork. I just need you to sign it for me, and then I'll give you a little plastic card. A little paper card, because plastic doesn't exist. I'll give you a little paper card.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, give me a moment.
Looks like he goes over to what looked like a stack of papers, pulls one out, and looks like he starts writing on it with quill. Oh my god.
Please just sign at the bottom there, and I'll give you your little paper card.
I don't know if Rook has ever written in his life.
We're gonna find out. What do you do?
Your name.
I can read.
Just go ahead and write your name. Right at the bottom there.
I just write Rook. Just all uppercase letters.
Thank you, Pook. That's very nice.
Just Pook.
Okay, all right. And then can you sign this one?
I did the same thing.
Okay. Well, Pook, we'll get you your card right away.
Rook. Comes back.
What? Excuse me?
It's Rook.
Rook.
Okay. And he kind of puts the paper down and puts an extra line down.
Okay, got it. Here is your library card.
Okay. When do I have to bring it back?
Well, I'd like you to bring it back as soon as possible. How long do you plan to keep it?
I'll bring it back as soon as possible.
How soon is as soon as possible?
I don't really know.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Rook.
But I promise I'll bring it back. You know my way.
I know your way.
We won't. I won't steal.
I know. But please, bring it back within, say, a month.
I can do that.
If you don't, I'll have to tack on late fees.
Okay. I'll have it back before a month.
Okay, and don't lose that library card.
I'll try not to.
Having fun's not hard when you have a library card.
Okay, walk away.
Walk away. Yeah. And if you do kind of take a look at it, it actually looks like a nice, hard cardstock paper, and it looks like it's embezzled, and it reads, the charge stacks, and under it says Pook.
Rook's first library card.
Make your way back.
Yep.
What are you guys doing during all of this?
Please,
I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Please add one library card to your inventory.
Let's go.
Anybody here know anything dangerous walking across them salt flats?
Well, they also have the book. What's it called again?
The Thousand Tribes of Moss and Sand.
You are so quick to forget, aren't you? That our warned enemy, Travis Scott, Cactus Jack, he is on the salt flats.
You do have vague recollections. Well, no, they're actually very clear recollections with keen mind. Of Brewster warning you of Cactus Joe.
Like, oh, I mean, I ain't forget that reward. We come across him in our travels.
Perhaps he would join our team.
Huh?
I mean, look at us. It's a fine group of men, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I smirk and just look back down at the book. Can I look and see if there's any more information about the Circle of the Worm?
Circle of the Worm, you kind of flip through. Yeah, you do actually get a little bit more information. So back on that page, there is, I don't want to say vague references. They don't name any specific dragons by name. That's the one thing. But what the other thing that's really important is that this druidic clan itself is not centralized. There is not one main figure that is the leader. It looks like they are several, maybe one to two dozen at a time, that are scattered from south to north to Sinia, all over the place. There are seven so mentioned druidic circles that worship dragons. All of them contain either entirely dragonborn or dragonborn and some kobolds. There are none that are mentioned that contain entirely kobolds. Any other specific questions about the entry?
So no, they don't mention any dragons, and it's like, it's okay. No, that's all I got.
Gotcha. Anything else that you guys want to do in the charred stacks?
I want to say,
maybe we should look into some more information on the dragon, the type of dragon that we were snooping on. Elohana. Find a book about it. Get some more information. Maybe it'll tell us that, about the abyss.
I like that idea very much, actually. Is there, maybe we can go ask if there's a book on just dragons.
I'll go ask. Kalka.
Hello, Puck.
You have a book on dragons?
Yes. But unfortunately, that is under lock and key. There's certain information in here that is in what we refer to as the Gatherum, and he kind of points behind him, and you see this large metal door. The crown dictates that certain reading materials are not appropriate for the average person, so we keep them back there. I would let you in if you had a signet ring of the Sarninian family, or a official writ from them to allow you access, but unfortunately my hands are tied.
Okay. Thanks.
I walk back.
The only dragon books are behind that door. We can't get back there.
And he is the only guard.
Well, he said the higher up people, they decide who can go in there. I don't think it's up to him. You know, the rich families.
That's right. That's too bad.
Well, we got this.
This will do us some good.
I think this will do us very good. I think perhaps we go back to the guild and regroup. Maybe see if anyone knows anything about our area of interest and about this circle of vultures.
Yes, I'd like to drop off the one egg that we already have. I don't think it's worth dragging it all the way north past the Salt Flats. I don't think that's a good idea. It'll be much safer at the Adventurers Guild.
Let's bring it.
So, yeah. Leaving the charred stacks and continuing your search for a couple of dragon eggs, that is where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.